Amen. Let's go to John 3. And I'll read verses 16 and 17, and then we're going to go to John 13, and I'm going to read verse 34 and 35, but I am reading them out of the Passion Translation. And it reads, John 3, 16 and 17, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it." And you know how I feel about rescue workers. They don't ask questions about what you did to get in that predicament. They don't tell you that you should have known better. All they do is rescue you, get you to a place where you can grow and learn and continue. And that's what we have to do. Stop being so concerned about why someone did what they did. Just get them, help them get out of it so that it can make things right again. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I've loved you." Just as much. "For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." And the key word there for me is true. They'll know we don't just say it, we live it. Now turn me please to John 1. John 1. This is King James Version. It was talking about Jesus. They said in him was life, and that life was the light of men. In verse 5, it says, "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And as I've shared with you previously, when you consider the original Greek text in which the Bible was written, comprehend doesn't mean understand. See, when Bible was translated into the English, it was translated by English speaking people using English definitions and English understanding. In the Greek, that word is katalambano, and it means something entirely different. It implies the idea of a force that is conquering, that just grabs hold of and conquers and dominates. And if you understand that, you understand that scripture saying that darkness can't grab hold of and conquer light. And when I look at what Pastor Rick Renner wrote concerning that scripture and the Greek words, you get a different meaning for John 1:5. And that meaning is this: "And the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it, take it down, subdue it, or dominate it." And it's very important that we understand that darkness does not have the ability to overtake light. That's monumental. See, because if you have the ability to do something, you can learn how. Darkness can't learn how to overcome light. No matter what it wants to do, it can't. Now, some of you may squirm a little bit because that may take away one of your major excuses. You know, but I need you to understand, darkness can't stop you. It doesn't have the ability. So why are we allowing ourselves to be stopped? Well, there's some other reasons for that. And I'm not going to go into them today because that'll take us into an entirely different direction. But if you really grab hold of understanding that darkness doesn't have the ability. How many of you can drive an automobile? How many can fly a plane? Not by faith. No. But how many of you have the ability to learn how to fly an airplane? Darkness doesn't have the ability. need to understand there isn't anything darkness can learn, study, you know, be taught. Nothing can happen that can cause darkness to be able to grab hold of the light and bring it down. Where anytime light shows up, darkness leaves. Look at Matthew 5. My wife must have been looking at my notes. But Matthew 5, I'm in the King James, says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. That means you have a choice here. It's saying, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So Jesus was telling us that this light that we have, which, by the way, is the same light that God used when he was ready to recreate the earth. And he said, light be and light was. That same light, when God was ready to restore man, that he sent to the earth in the person of Jesus Christ, we are that same light. So why did he do that? Because he has the same purpose. Obliterate darkness. Because that's what light does. Ephesians 5, verse 6 to 9. This is in the Weymouth New Testament. If you're in Bible Gateway, it's not there. You got to go to Bible Hub and find it. But this reads, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is on account of these very sins that God's anger is coming upon the disobedient. Therefore, do not become sharers with them." Verse 8. It's not underlined. You probably want to do it, underline it or highlight it. "There was a time when you were in darkness, when you were nothing but darkness. But now, as Christians, you are light itself." See, we have to pay attention to that. It says, as Christians, now, right now, as Christians, we are light itself. We forget that we're to operate as Christians. We think we're supposed to operate as Republicans or Democrats, okay, or any other political affiliation. We think we're supposed to operate based on what group the world has placed us according to our age, that we're supposed to adopt a certain set of values and attitudes. You know, because I'm a baby boomer, or we're supposed to operate based on zodiac signs. One person got in an argument with me because they said, "You're a Scorpio." I said, "No, I'm not." "Yes, you are." "No." "So, but your birthday is November." "I know when my birthday is." "I was there." "Okay." "No, but that's you were born under the sign of Scorpio." I said, "But I was reborn." Okay. I said, but once I gotta admit, I did say it once. I said, "So you really believe that that I'm a Scorpio?" "Yes." "Then you should leave me alone." Their whole facial expression changed. Because even though I wasn't identifying with it, I knew what it was. Okay. See, it says we are. Doesn't say we might be. It says we are the light of the world. And we need to understand that and take that seriously. Because it has serious implications if we're not the light of the world. Because you can only be light or dark. There is no in between. So if we are not the light of the world, or if we're not bringing light to the world, we are bringing darkness. And we're not children of the dark. Amen. We're children of the light. Amen. And then verse 9, it gives us a command. Live and act as sons of light. Amen. For the effect of the light is seen. We need to understand that part also. Our behavior as Christians should be seen. By who? By everybody. Seen. And see, if you just think about all of the implications of that, my wife will tell you, yeah, there are times when I'm out in public that I want to go off. Because guess what? I'm in flesh too. Okay? I have feelings and emotions and preferences just like everyone else. When God calls you to pastor, he doesn't remove all those emotions from you. Sometimes it'd be better, it would feel good if he did, but he doesn't. And people do things. And you just, I get the... If you find anything that shouldn't be... I tell you, you'll get in trouble if you sing that song. Because I was singing that song, and God said, I'm not taking that out. I gave you the power and authority to handle that. He said, so if you find anything that shouldn't be, you better do something about it. But you just have to let it go. Amen. And I find myself smiling genuinely and saying, look, it's okay. That's all right. Did you wake up this morning and plan to do it? Thank God so far no one has said yes. Okay. But I said, it was an accident. You didn't mean to do it. But I want us to always default to the light. As lights, we shine in the darkness. And darkness doesn't have the ability to do anything about it. You got that? Tell it to your neighbor. Okay. All right. See, it doesn't matter because we get, as human beings, we get caught up. See, we think about the intensity of the attack. We think about how it feels, how painful it is, or how uncomfortable. We think about all of those things. And all of those things are really irrelevant. Because one, they can't stop you. And two, you have authority over it. So when you say, how long is this going to keep happening? Until you decide you've had enough. And you make it stop. Well, I've done that, and it keeps going, and sometimes it doesn't stop, because after all, even the Apostle Paul went to God and prayed 3 times, you know, for this thorn to be moved from him. Well, first of all, you need to understand that he was talking about people, not a natural thorn, you know, number one. But number two, God did do something about it. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So it doesn't matter how intense the pressure or how violent the attack is. I mean, if the attack is violent, light can still push it back. Didn't say that darkness doesn't have the ability to overcome it unless darkness really gets violent. It doesn't say that. And I take the word at face value. If it says, my wife will tell you, if it says it, if I see it in there and God tells me what it means, I'm going with it. And you can try and tell me, no, that's not, this is what it says. And this is what it means. So if this is what it says and this is what it means, guess what? This is what I'm doing. Amen. Well, I don't believe that. Then do something else. I'm going with what I believe based on what the word said. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said something else. He said, a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Why do you think he said that? Do you ever stop to think about that? A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. You know, we're not going to bore you with any, you know, Deacon Phillips and I went to Greece stories, but it just affected our lives. And when we were in Greece, we had a chance to spend a little time talking with and listening to and learning from Pastor Rick Renner. And he's a noted Greek scholar. He studied and studied and studied ancient Greek and the ancient Aramaic. And, you know, so he can give you some insight that you just don't get anywhere. And so I'm going to be referencing some of, you know, what I gleaned from reading his books. But he said 3 miles from Nazareth is this city called Zephora or Zipporah. Zipporah. 3 miles. Zipporah is this gorgeous city that's set on a hill. And it was considered the hub of the region of Galilee. People would, you just stand out and you just look and you can't miss Zipporah. And all of the lights in the city, especially at night, it lit up the whole area. Now it's 3 miles away. But Jesus, as he's coming out, he's looking and he sees this city that's set on a hill. And it doesn't matter what's going on. Every time he looks, guess what he sees? That city set on a hill. And it's lit up. And the support, it influenced that whole region. It was the center of commerce, education. They said the city was trilingual. Trilingual. You know, I'm bilingual. I speak English and other tongues. You know, but it was known for its culture. I mean, it influenced the lives of people. It provided employment. Because think about it. 3 miles away is this little town, Nazareth. Now, Jesus, his father was, you know, the Bible says carpenter. But that word really means like stone cutter or construction project foreman. That when you start reading, you know, all of the definitions of that word. And so where are you going to get that kind of work in Nazareth when you think about it? So Jesus' father and Jesus probably, said Pastor Carr said probably, all right, worked in Zipporah as most of the other people. And they got influenced by it. When they would see the light, especially at night, they had a reaction to it. It's like, look at that city. You see it 15, 20 years, 30 years, how long? But every time you look at it, it's like, wow. Wow. And people aspired. The people in Nazareth and in surrounding regions aspired to be like folks they saw in Zipporah. That's the kind of influence Jesus wants us to have on people. That's why he said, we are the light of the world. We are a city set upon a hill. But it says something else about the city set upon a hill. And when I saw this last night, I just got chilled up, so to speak. But it said, the city set upon a hill cannot be hid. The word cannot. Wow. See, it's a combination of two words. One word, OU, just means no. The other word is dynamis. Not dunamis, dynamis. No power. No, that's what it means. No power. A city set upon a hill doesn't have the power to be hidden. A city set upon a hill doesn't have the power to be hidden. Why? It's set upon a hill. And no matter what you do, it is still a city set upon a hill. It cannot be hidden. It doesn't have any power to be hidden. Jesus is telling us that we're just like that city. You are the light of the world. You are like a city set on a hill that doesn't have the power to be hidden. Because of that, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, wait a minute. Now, if we're lights, how can there be anything other than good works? Well, what did he say before that? Let your light so shine. Because if your light's not shining, they're going to still see you because you are still set upon a hill. You still don't have the power to be hidden, but now they're not going to be, they see you doing good works. Now they're going to see you doing other things that can only be done in the dark. And we think because it's in the dark, it's not seen. But we are cities set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. So no matter what we do, how we do it, it will be seen. So Jesus, knowing that, said, let your light so shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So if the only way they get to glorify our Father in heaven is by seeing our good works, who are they going to glorify if they see darkness? And guess who's going to be held accountable for that? First you, then me, and I'm going to get even worse because I'm a teacher. Do you understand that? As I told you before, this is why it takes me so long. Because I just sit there in my chair and just throw my head back. I'm like, wow. And then I happen to glance over at the top screen on the computer monitor and see, does that say 3:15 and not p.m.? It's like, I better get to sleep, right? But you need to, so Jesus, he had a purpose for what he said. Because when he was speaking those words, he was envisioning standing outside of his home looking at this beautiful city that's just lighting up the place. You know, when you want to draw attention to something, they put light on it. We didn't agree with it, and we don't agree with it. But we had a president who was in support of a certain lifestyle. They lit up the White House. Right. What? To draw attention. You know, they used the Empire State Building to make statements. They put different lights on there. People notice, even if you don't know why, you look, why is that lit up like that? And you turn on and you find out. But there's something about seeing something lit up, you want to know what's going on. Just naturally. One of the things that we're finding with younger generation, even during praise and worship in a church setting, they want to see lights. Right. They have the reason they have the smoke going, it's not to emulate the Holy Spirit, but it's to reflect light. That when they put lights on, you see the light in the fog, so to speak. You know, but there's something about light that causes people to look at it. Every single time I go down 59 at night and pass by, what's going to be our property soon, they have these poles that have these lights that are flashing on and off. And I drive by, I know it's flashing, but I see the flash, and I glance. I don't turn, look, because I'm driving. But I just glance with my peripheral vision and say, what's, oh yeah, that's right, that's what light, it always flashes. But there's something about light that draws attention. Darkness also draws attention. Because you want to, I remember as a child, we would go to the amusement park, and one of the places you were afraid to go into, but you just had to, you know, they, you know, the more sophisticated now, they call them haunted houses. We used to call them the spook house. You get on this ride, and the first thing that happened when you went inside, it was dark. And then when they wanted to really scare you, light flashed on, and this hideous-looking something was right there reaching out at you, you know. Nothing like the graphics and things they have today, but it was enough for you to scream, get me out of here. You know, but they use light to bring your attention, to cause your eyes to turn and look at it. You know, even, you know, in the entertainment industry, in performances on stage, when they want to highlight a performer, they take a spotlight and they shine it on that person so that everybody can see what that person is doing. That light says, this is the important part that you need to see right now. And they have follow spots where if they want your attention on this person throughout the whole performance, they have this light that follows this person everywhere they go so that you'll always keep your eyes on them. Always study them. Always watch what they're doing. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. It's that they're always going to be watching us. Now we can't turn off our light, but we can cover it. We're going to talk about, we may talk about that in a minute. But I just need you to understand, a city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Means a city that's set upon the hill has no power to be hidden. And if it has no power to be hidden, it has to shine. Jesus wants us to have the same type of influence on the people of this world that that city had on the region of Galilee. Everyone was influenced by it. It said, one of the things that Pastor Renner wrote, said, the lights of the city penetrated the darkness and gave light to the night. Our presence should penetrate the darkness and give light to where darkness once ruled. Just like God said, let there be light, and the darkness that was covering this planet had to go. That's what happens that's what should happen when a believer shows up anywhere darkness exists. So we need to stop complaining about how dark a region is or an area is and just concentrate and focus on shedding as much light into the area that is within us, and the darkness will leave. Period. And when I want you to go, I don't care if you understand it or not. The only thing I need you to understand is about face, and then forward march. That's it. And if you don't understand it, I'll show you how it operates. Okay? But I want you to understand another thing. And I know I use the word understand a lot. Somebody I know is going to count it one day and tell me, you said understand. But let me say this. The Bible says, well, let me read the scripture in there. Verse 15 of Matthew 5. Says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but under a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Well, when we hear that, we think about a wax candle, that you light this candle and you put it on a candlestick. But that's not what that word light means. That word light In that scripture, where's my pronunciation word? It's the Greek word lupnos, and it refers to a small oil lamp, little small earthen lamp. And in Israel, when they did excavation sites in Israel, and they say to this day, you can dig in the spot, you're going to find a fragment of an oilite, because there were thousands and thousands and thousands of them, because that's what people use. They didn't have a wax candle. They had this little lamp that they stuffed a wick in, put oil in it, you know, the wick soaked up the oil, they lit the oil, and that's the light they used. It wasn't a candle. It was this little fragile oil lamp, and when reading it says it was so fragile, if you squeezed it too hard, it would break. It would break. It was an earthen vessel. If you go over and look at what Paul said in Corinthians, he said, but there's this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? The oil of the Holy Ghost that brings light. And it was so, it's such a fragile thing God chose to use. And Jesus used that to demonstrate us. We are these fragile beings who are filled with the oil of life, the Spirit of God. And as long as we stay that way, we have an unending supply of oil, so there's no reason for our light to go out. But we have to understand we're talking about a vessel, not a candle.
Amen.
See, candle's just an unfortunate mistranslation, but it's based on English, not Greek. So Jesus was telling his disciples, let us shine our light before men so we can influence the world around us, just like Sapphira influenced the whole region of Galilee. Do you understand? Here's one thing I find amazing. Now, mind you, this little vessel, this little raggedy oil vessel that Jesus used. And they say it was so fragile, if you squeezed it hard, it would break. Well, guess what? They didn't give them away for free. As flimsy as they were, you paid for it. And people would go out and buy 10, 20 of these little fragile lamps, not caring what they cost, because they desperately needed light. Light. That they were willing to pay for this little shoddy oil lamp. That if they squeeze, if in their excitement, they squeeze it too hard, they'd have to go back to the store and get another one. Or back to the marketplace and get another one. Well, in the same way, this world should be so hungry, so desperate for the light, that they don't care what they have to go through, what they have to endure to get to us, who have the light. To get to us who are the light. These fragile human bodies filled with the Spirit of God, the light to the entire world. And all Jesus is asking us to do is shine, shine, shine. That's all he's asking us to do. See, the people, when they were buying those lights, those lamps, they didn't care what color they were. They didn't care where they were made. They didn't care from what part of town was that little store where they didn't care about any of that. All they cared about was, this produces the light that I need.
Amen.
Period. And that's all we should be concerned about. That's why it says we have to understand that as Christians, we are light itself.
Amen.
And forget about all this other stuff. that causes us to think other than as Christians. Amen. So, Pastor, are you saying we should just forget about all the other things that are going on in the world? No, I'm saying because of all the other things that are going on in the world, it's even more important at this time in this season that we act as children of the light. Amen. And let our light so shine. Let people see how we operate in this climate. And they'll want to come running to find out, how can I do it that way too? Because I'm tired of getting knocked around. You don't get affected by anything. So no, I don't let things affect me. It tries. And it'll come. Let me tell you something, folks. God's no respecter of persons. But the devil is in this sense. Don't throw stones at me. Just listen to what I'm saying. The more influence you have, the more the enemy is going to try and bring you down. Because if he brings you down, all those following you will also be brought down. I know of a person who was living a raggedy life, and in the midst of their raggediness, they found their way to a certain church, well-known minister, and I was talking with them, and they were telling me about things this minister was saying that was having a positive impact on their life, and I could see where they were once over here, they were slowly starting to turn. Then controversy hit that ministry. And the leader of that ministry made some questionable choices, and it shattered this guy's whole psyche. And hasn't been back to another church really since. And always refers to this incident. And I'm saying, you have to let that go. That was a human being. And yeah, they did something that wasn't right. Well, guess what? They're not alone. And just being called to a ministry office doesn't exempt you from having wrong thoughts and things coming into your head. The Bible never promised that thoughts wouldn't come into your head. It said capture those thoughts and make them obey Christ. That's one translation of that scripture. We said casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against your knowledge of God and bringing into captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that means, yes, the thoughts are going to come. You have to bring it into captive. How do you do it? Blind it with light. But to do that, we really need to get a grasp as to how powerful we are as light beings. I almost said it again, but I'm not. Here's another way to put it in a Message Bible, Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You're here to be light. Bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. Now, the Message translation gives that even another, makes another key point. As public as a city set on a hill. That means everybody should have access. We shouldn't keep anybody out. Everybody that wants the light should have access to the light. Period. That's why we try and be as transparent as we can to let you know we're humans. We are very approachable. We're not going to judge you because you did something wrong. Because doing so, I have to put myself on trial. If I made you a light bearer, don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. That's all he's asking us to do. When we flip the switch, we expect these lights to shine. I mean, that's it. We don't want to hear that the ballast is overheating. We don't want to hear that a filament wants to burn out. No, when that switch is flipped, let the light shine. And so whatever has to be done, our facilities department has to do so that when we call for the light, there's light. Just like when we call for a song, there's a song. When we call for a mic, there's a mic. Why? Because that's what's supposed to happen. Jesus made us lights, put us on a light stand, and said, now, shine. Shine, shine, shine. That's what we are to do as lights. I think I'm going to unhook there, but I just want to make sure that that's where he wants me to stop. Yep. I'm going to stop there. Because if I go any further, we'll be here another hour. And I'm not going to do that to you. We are the light of the world. Period. We are just like a city set on a hill that does not have the power to be hidden. Period. Because of that, we're to let our light shine. So shine, full intensity, so that everyone can see our good works, and then everyone will give glory to God. Now, I am not a public singer. I'm a sit home in private singer. I don't think I even sing loudly in front of my wife. But this morning, when I noticed the time, and I said, oh, I got to unhook, but I can't just stop. You know, it's like a sprinter. You know, they're going off, and when they cross the line, they can't just stop. They have to slow down. So as I was going through my unhooking process, because there's a way, things that I do to just unhook. I can't just violently pull myself away. I have to just unhook. And as I was sitting there, and Denise, you need to come and get a microphone. Okay, because you can sing a cappella stuff. But as I was sitting there, all of a sudden, I heard myself start singing, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine."